From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Jelani Day was the fourth of five children in a family from Danville, Illinois, a town near the Indiana border in the central part of the state. The 25-year-old was an athlete, a scholar, and a son who called his mom daily. Last year, he was pursuing a graduate degree in speech pathology at Illinois State University in Bloomington Normal, with dreams of one day becoming a doctor. But on August 24th, 2021, 1 year ago today, he vanished. He had last been seen at a store in Bloomington. 2 days later, his car was found in a wooded area near Peru, Illinois, about an hour north of Bloomington Normal. 9 days after that, Jelani's body was recovered from the Illinois River. It took the LaSalle County coroner almost 3 more weeks to confirm the remains were, in fact, Jelani Day. Since then, there have been several developments in the case, but no breakthroughs. For example, almost 2 months after his disappearance, his cell phone was found on the side of a highway. But his family still has many more questions than answers. Joining us now to talk more about Jelani Day is his mother, Carmen Bolden Day. Last year, she led searches for her son. Now she's searching for clues about his death and disappearance. Ms. Bolden Day, I can only imagine that every day is tough, but today especially so. Thank you for talking with me. And Carmen, I think you might be muted on our connection there.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I was muted.
That's okay. So thank you for being here. I want to begin just by asking, how are you holding up?
I don't know. It's moment by moment. This week has been really, really hard. Every day is hard, but this week especially. Like today is Wednesday. I know it's the 24th. On the 24th of last year was the last day that he was seen alive. But on this Wednesday, this was the Wednesday that I had to file the mystery. I got up that morning thinking I was going to have the best day. I was preparing to go on a vacation. And that night, on that Wednesday of last year, was when I got that phone call that the police were at my door in Danville looking for Jelani and said that he was missing. So yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. You know, but before we talk more about the investigation, can you tell us, what was Jelani like coming up in Danville?
Jelani was... he was very, very respectable. All my kids are. If you knew him, you knew that he loved to laugh. He loved to have fun. He loved to he loved to eat. he was such a personable person. You know, if he made so many friends. He was so smart coming up, and he was in school. He went to a magnet school, and he used to get in trouble in school all the time. And I used to be at the school all the time, every day. Jelani was always doing something. And he would be in there, and I'd go to the school, and the teacher would say that he was messing with the other kids. Well, Jelani would get all his work done, and he would get done first, and he would get done fast, and then he would just be sitting there, and he would want to help other kids do their work, or he would want to play. So Jelani's just always been smart, always been smart.
Yeah, and I know he got a speech pathology degree from Alabama A&M University, a historically black college. He was going to grad school at Illinois State and wanted to become a doctor. What inspired him to pursue that path and that focus on speech pathology?
While in school, in elementary school, he befriended a young man by the name of Paul. And Paul had a speech impediment. He was delayed on doing a lot of things socially with the friends. And so him and Jelani, they became friends. And Jelani used to take up for Paul. Paul couldn't articulate very well, so Jelani would articulate for him. And Jelani told me that when he decided to pursue his degree in speech And oh, I can't even think, say it now. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Speech pathology.
Yeah, when speech pathology, when he decided to pursue his degree, he said he was doing it because he wanted to help people like Paul. He wanted to be able to help people talk. He wanted to be able to help people to be able to express themselves. So he decided to pursue that career.
Well, thank you for sharing those memories of him. So I understand that it was a year ago today where his last sightings. He was seen on videotape at the Student Union at Illinois State, and then a store in Bloomington, a cannabis dispensary. And then his remains and his vehicle were later recovered in Peru, which is about 60 miles north of the ISU campus. To the extent you're comfortable talking about it, where does the investigation stand now, today?
They tell me that the investigation is open, but standing in my seat and looking at them, that I don't know what type of investigation they have held. Just recently, and recently I say last week, I was in Peru. I was there. I did a follow-up interview because it's the year, it was approaching the year of all this happening, and I requested to see Jelani's vehicle. When I got there to see it, Jelani's car is outside under a tarp. Now, this is a major piece of evidence. And as we all know, as you've read and what they've told me, they've only found Jelani fingerprints in the car. Well, when I go to the car and I look in the car, I'm kind of thinking, though, I understand why they only found Jelani's fingerprints. They only pick and chose what they wanted to pick up out of the car because everything else is just as it was when they pulled that car up from that hill in that wooded area behind that YMCA in Peru. Papers are still on the seats. There was money on the seats. There was money in the console. There's weed or tobacco that's in Jelani's seat. The clothes are on the floor. The shoes are on the floor. Nothing has been bagged, tagged, numbered so that they can put in a report and refer back to it in an evidence report. None of that was done. They said that they moved his car outside because there was no room in their evidence garage. They open up the garage, and the garage where the secure spot is empty. So that right there, that even solidified it more for me. This hasn't been an investigation. What have they investigated? They don't have a clue about anything. You know, this is 2022. My son was last seen on that camera at Beyond Hello. That's what they said. There was cameras all around that area. We don't find Jelani anywhere. At least they didn't. They didn't find him anywhere because they decided on September 24th, a whole 30 days later, to conduct an investigation. And by that time, video is erased. Businesses don't keep footage that long. They didn't search the neighborhoods. They didn't ask for they didn't ask for home video from Ring doorbells or anything during that time when they should have been doing it. They didn't do nothing. So now we are 365 days later. We don't have anything because then the vital hours and the vital time when they should have been conducting a search, they had an amateur out there like me doing it. I was doing it. I didn't ask all the right questions. I didn't go to all the right places. I didn't contact the right people. I didn't go to the right houses or the right businesses. So little what I did find, and I gave it to them. I later find out, like they told me that the video cameras at the YMCA where Jelani's car was found, that those video cameras were inoperable, that they didn't work. And that was a lie because on September 4th, the day that they found that body was the same day I went to the YMCA And I asked them, why didn't their cameras work? And they told me, oh, our cameras do work. I asked them, did they have footage from back then on the August 24th that we could see? They said, sure. So they showed me the footage. I see during that time that Jelani's car could have possible the possibility there of when his car could have been placed down there. There was a vehicle, a very suspicious vehicle that was on the camera that I gave to the police. We recorded this on our phones, and I actually had a USB that we downloaded this video on, and I gave to the police. And when I met with the police in February of 2022, the detective from Peru, Brad Jones, says that he went to go retrieve the video, but he didn't even go to try to retrieve the video from the YMCA until January the 13th of 2022. So just keep in mind, I gave this to them in September of 2021, and the police do not even go back to try to look and try to retrieve the actual video that they should have from the actual place where this video was taken until 3 months later. You tell me what kind of investigation is that? Because it's not an investigation. They did not thoroughly do their job. It's as if they keep showing me that they don't care. They didn't care. Jelani didn't matter. My efforts and my pleas and my cries did not matter. And it's just unfair. And it's just, I point out again, is the disparity that I have faced throughout all of this. Had Jelani been a white male, had I been a white woman, maybe they would have paid more attention to me. But they didn't, and they still aren't. Now that I went there last week, they're not even returning any of my phone calls. They told me they were going to release the car to me if I wanted it. Now there's no conversation about releasing the car to me. So,
Do you get the sense that they even agree that there was foul play involved? Is that still a question in their minds? It's not a question in yours, is it?
no, it's not a question in mine at all. But it can't be a question in theirs either if they're offering a reward.
What about there was, and we need to take a break in a few minutes here, but I understand that his phone was found a number of weeks, months even after, along I-55. Has any evidence, has there been anything to come of that?
Even when they found the phone, I found out that they found the phone on social media, and they had had the phone a whole week before I even knew they had the phone. So I don't even understand. If you got to realize, Jelani's car was moved. Jelani's car was originally in Bloomington, Illinois. His car was moved to Peru. I didn't find out that by the police. I found out that by social media. The tarp that the car was under when it was on the bed of a truck, it flew off, and someone happened to be behind it and they videoed it and they put it on Facebook. When the phone was found, the young man that found the phone, whoever he worked with, posted it on social media. Come to find out, the young man I spoke to that actually found the phone, he said that the phone, they had contacted him about the phone a week prior. They even had his phone for a whole week. I didn't even know that they had the phone. So my question has always been, why am I the last one to find out anything when I am the main one that has been inquiring about everything? Why am I the one that has to find out things on social media or from the press or wherever when I am the mother of this young man that was missing? Nothing has been brought to me. So it leads me to believe, again, what are they covering up? What are they hiding? What is it that they don't want all of us to know?
We need to take a break in our conversation. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Carmen Bolden Day. She's the mother of Jelani Day, a 25-year-old Illinois State University graduate student who disappeared last August, 1 year ago today, in fact. His remains were eventually found in the Illinois River, but how he died remains a mystery. We're going to continue this conversation after the break with, again, with Carmen Bolden Day. There is a memorial service, an event, I should say, coming up on Saturday in Normal, Illinois. We're going to talk about that. There's a foundation, a Jelani Day Foundation. We're going to talk about that and just some of the other aspects of this case that are still ongoing. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Carmen Bolden Day, the mother of Illinois State University graduate student Jelani Day, who disappeared 1 year ago today. His remains were found in the Illinois River. How he died remains a mystery. And Carmen, before the break, we were talking about your frustrations with the investigation, or what in your view is a lack of investigative, I guess, urgency in this case. As you know, the Illinois General Assembly passed something called the Jelani Day Law, which requires medical examiners, coroners, to contact the FBI if a body remains unidentified after 72 hours, at which point the FBI would be asked to work with the state police. Do you think this would have helped in your son's case?
Absolutely. 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 You know, in 72 hours, that's when Gabby Petito's body was found, and her family was put at peace because they were able to locate her. I wasn't afforded that same opportunity. I wasn't afforded those same resources. So I believe that with the new Jelani Day bill, that if a body is found and it's not identified within the first 72 hours, getting the FBI involved is crucial. It took them 19 days to tell me that they had my son laying in a morgue. That alone, that's torment.
And again, I'm so sorry for your loss. I can't even imagine your grief as a father myself. You know, so many of the details of Jelani's life and the circumstances about his disappearance have been circulating through the media. I mean, this very conversation. How has that affected your grieving process for you and your family?
You know what? I don't really know how to grieve. When everything just first started, I was looking for Jelani. Then when I found out that they had a body, I'm still looking for Jelani. Then when they identify this body as Jelani, now I'm looking, not only I'm looking for him throughout this time, I'm looking to find out what happened to him. Then I got to plan a service. Then I got to plan, we got to do marches because the police are not cooperating. I'm contacting the police. I'm looking at things. I'm trying my best to anyway, because it's so overwhelming. So I don't even know if I have gotten to grieve. If I'm grieving, I'm grieving through everything. I'm trying to handle everything, all of this at the same time. Like, life just keeps happening. Life doesn't stop. So, there are times I wake up and I feel like I have to still look for Jelani. And then I remember, oh, Carmen, okay, Jelani is gone. I wake up and think, okay, Jelani's supposed to call. Jelani is not getting ready to call you. So it's all a process, and every day is a struggle. So I'm trying to keep my mental together. I try to keep my emotional together. Sometimes I don't know. I'm just doing my best.
I understand there's an event coming up this Saturday, August 27th, in Normal, Illinois, to celebrate Jelani's life and legacy. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. The event is, it came about because Jelani's birthday, Jelani had told me he wanted an all-white party, and I was just totally focused on doing something for my son for his birthday, but I couldn't find a venue that would host it or that I could pay for, that I could use. So I had gotten really down, and my kids kept encouraging me. That's like, Mama, we can do something later on. And I knew from the very onset of this that I was not going to let Jelani's life be in vain. And I wanted his name to be remembered, and I want to make sure that Jelani is a symbol of change for how things have played out for us. Like I said, I wouldn't want this or wish this on my worst enemy, and I wouldn't want to see another mother or father or family have to go through and endure the things that we've endured and are enduring. So I decided that I wanted to form a foundation in his name. And with that foundation, I want to help others. I want to make sure that they have accessibility to things that we didn't have the accessibility to. I know that it takes money because we had to travel, and thank God for the help of the public and for the help of my family, for the support that I had, that we didn't have to, we weren't in a financial bind, but everybody's not as fortunate as I am. So I want to be able to give back. I want to be able to help somebody financially or to help them connect with media, or to help them connect with social activists that can help their stories be heard. And maybe, just maybe, they can have a better outcome than what we've had.
Well, Carmen Bolden-Day, again, I'm so sorry for your loss. Thank you again for taking the time to speak with us and share your memories of Jelani. We will continue to follow the case and your foundation work. And I hope you and your family can find whatever peace is available to you.
Thank you again for having me. And I am invite everybody to come out with us to honor the life and legacy of Jelani on this Saturday. It will be held in Bloomington at the ISU Ballroom in the Bone Center at 5 p.m. We are also going to be live that day on YouTube and Facebook for those who cannot attend. But we do still have tickets available, and they will be available at the door. So if anybody wants to be there in person, they're more than welcome to come.
All right. And if people couldn't get that down, we'll have that information on our website as well, 21stshow.org. Carmen, again, thank you for being with us.
All right. Thank you.